Testing, testing, testing. Can you hear me? This is Audible Autism.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Audible Autism. Interesting questions and interesting facts. One of the most common questions people have is, I have so much stuff in my life. Events, emails, piles of papers. How do I possibly get on top of it all? So this episode is dedicated to my answer to that question. How do I organise everything I do so that I don't ultimately just do nothing? I'll go through how I remember all the tasks that I need to get done and the tools that I use to organise them. Now, for your reference, the system I'm about to describe is a modified version of the Getting Things Done system developed by David Allen in the early 2000s. He originally published a book, which I have read and recommend, but if you're interested in checking out just the method, there are lots of tutorials and guides that you can just Google. So, the basic task for your organisational system, paper or digital? There are a fair number of task management software out there for personal use, from Remember to Milk to the now-defunct IQtel that I have tried, but I ultimately found that with every piece of software, I ended up spending vastly more time updating the software than I did performing the tasks that I was patiently logging and categorising and labelling and moving to different boxes. I regard this as a bad thing. Any organisational system you use should be portable, so that you can carry it with you, and simple, so that you can use it intuitively without really thinking too much about it. And so the idea of updating it doesn't become in itself an obstacle to making any progress on what you need to get done. I do use some online tools that I'll talk about later, but the fundamentals of my task list are now always recorded on paper. I used to use a blank sheet of A4 paper to record task lists on, which is very simple, but I found that I was trying to keep hold of them rather than recycle them because I liked the history of me that I was recording. So now I've switched to creating my task list in the back of my regular notebook. My notebook is an A5 200-page ruled notebook that I carry everywhere with me. I record notes, all of which are dated, in the front and make my task lists in the back. I leave the front page blank and then when I'm done, I'll write the dates that the notebook covers and any major projects or events that I took notes for in it to make it easily searchable later, and then put it on my shelf with the others. Then I open the next book and start over. It takes about a year for me to get through each one, and obviously because I'm autistic, as soon as I did find the perfect notebook, which is an A5 spiral-bound notebook with a plastic acetate cover from Poundland, I went out and bought 80 of them, so I'll never ever have to buy another one. Now, there are three steps to my organisational system: gathering the information, processing it, and filing it. Gathering the information is about putting everything in a single pile so you don't have things that get lost because they're scattered all over your desk or in your living room or genuinely just getting in your way so you put them somewhere else and then forget that you put where you put them, etc, etc. I take everything I have, be that post, leaflets, forms, etc, and put them in a single pile for me to look at when I'm ready. If there's a little bit of information that I need to do a task, such as maybe I need a phone number or a reference code that I need to give someone, I'll write that down on a post-it note and just stick that in the pile as well. My email inbox functions for the same stuff, but online. I'll email myself URLs of things that I need to fill out or articles that I want to keep hold of, so that I don't end up with hundreds and hundreds of tabs on my browser and it just becomes completely unmanageable. I also scroll back through all of my Facebook messages about once a month to check to see if there's anything that I missed, forgot to reply to, or where I agreed to do a thing and then just never did it or put it on my task list or something like that. So, once you've got your two piles, then you have to process them. This is a task that I have to return to regularly because people don't stop sending you stuff because you haven't dealt with the previous things. But my system as I use it doesn't make any demands that I create myself a task list of things that I need to get done every day. My productivity guru, Tim Ferriss, recommends that you sit down every morning and journal your thoughts for 5 minutes and then set yourself a task list for the things that you need to get done that day. But Tim Ferriss is also a self-employed multimillionaire who gets enough sleep, has his own staff, and has all the time and self-discipline in the world to plan and execute every day under his control. I am not that person. I get up an hour before I have to leave the house for work, and I am busy trying to wake up, get dressed, read the news, look through my Facebook messages, and generally plug into the world. Sometimes I go to bed late, and I wake up 15 minutes before I have to leave, and just making sure I'm wearing all the clothes I should be is the only thing I get done. Some mornings, my ADD just takes over, and I have to spend the entire hour reading about, I don't know, I spent Tuesday thinking about the new master's program in the thought of Pope Benedict. So most mornings I have little time, and for most of that time I have little inclination to think about what I need to get done that evening, because obviously I don't really have a task list for the things I need to get done at work, or at least not a personal task list. Maybe that's bad and unproductive of me, but that's the reality of it, and you have to create a system that fits you and not the other way around. So when I process stuff, it can be done any time, any day, in any period that I have free. Stuff that I have to deal with generally falls into five categories. Things I need to do something about, things I need to record, things I need to read, things I need to hold on to, and things that I'm not quite sure what to do with. For the things I need to do something about, David Allen recommends that if it's a task that takes less than 2 minutes to do, then you should just do it, then and there, get it done. That's when I'll buy tickets, or fill out simple forms, or reply to emails that require a couple of sentences like, I'm there, or sounds good. For everything else, I work out the specific action that I need to do, and then record that on my task list. The task has to be a thing that you can actually do. So, on my current task list, I've got buy bathroom cabinet, rather than redecorate bathroom, for example. Redecorating the bathroom is something that I want to do, but it is a project and not a task. If you put the entire project down as a task, it will probably seem completely overwhelming, you'll never get it done, and worst of all, you don't get anywhere near as much satisfaction steadily crossing through each action as you get it done. I have a separate recording program for projects. So, you run through all of that. I'll write down as tasks, for example, people that I need to write longer emails to, things that I need to look up, anything that's likely to float around in my head as, I need to remember to. That's the idea. Getting everything out of my head so I'm able to oversee everything that needs to happen, prioritise the important things, and genuinely feel calm that I've got everything under control and nothing is slipping through the cracks. Sometimes when I feel anxious and overwhelmed, I just pull out the task list and add everything I have swirling around and usually feel much better immediately. The things I need to record, maybe because I need to hold on to a piece of information about an upcoming event or remember the event itself, I do use online tools. All of them are free to use, although some of them you can pay for upgrades. I use Google Calendar to remember events. That's because A, it's very easy to use, and B, it syncs with my phone so I can always tell someone what I'm doing when I'm trying to arrange something with them. I can't emphasise too much just how useful that actually is. It might seem simple, but I know a lot of autistic people who still try to remember everything that they've got on in their heads, agree to a thing with me, and then have to get back to me a few days later and say, actually, so-and-so's just reminded me that I'm doing this with them instead. It's also, frankly, really cool to be able to look back on. I've been using Google Calendar for about 11 years now, and any time I'm reminiscing or I need to recall when a particular thing, say, 7 years ago happened, I can look it up and it's right there to remind me. I also record deadlines in Google Calendar, but I don't generally record tasks like some productivity people recommend. I found that that's because when I try to do that, my eyes would just gaze over them, my brain would know that the deadline was completely artificial, and I'd never get any of them done. I tried moving them a week forward if I didn't get them done, and I was just moving them every week, so I just gave up. I can't treat my own brain. For each event, I have Google Calendar set up to remind me of things the day before, and for 45 minutes beforehand. Generally, I don't need the latter reminder, but it has sometimes come in handy. This one time, I was dozing in bed, and suddenly my phone reminder alerted me to the fact that I had a driving theory test booked, which I'd put in months ago, and it was happening in 45 minutes' time, and I'd completely forgotten. So I leapt out of bed, ran down to the testing centre, and made it just in time. So, most of the time it's not that useful, but sometimes it can save the day. For information that I need for an upcoming event, such as travel or tickets, I have a special folder in my inbox called Upcoming Bookings. Actually, it's called One Space Upcoming Bookings, so it appears at the very top of my folder collection. That way, I get stuff that doesn't require any action out of my inbox, but it's still easily accessible. For things that I don't want to do anything with right now, but I'm waiting for something to happen before I can say that that's actually definitively dealt with, like maybe if I'm waiting for a reply from someone, or it's a really low priority but I don't want to give up on it entirely, I have another folder that's called 2 space waiting something. That way things don't clog up my inbox, but they don't get archived either. I check and clear out both those folders every few months so that things don't build up in there. For things I need to read in my email, I have another folder. I use an online tool called unroll.me, which automatically files away all of the mailing lists that I'm on into a separate folder where I also put all of the emails that I just need to read. I receive about 30 of those a day, and generally I just check all and delete most of them after I've read the headline, maybe every couple of days or so, just to get the numbers down. But when I have some time and I just want to consume information rather than think through what I have to do with it, I'll open up that folder and have a root through. Sometimes I'll leave that too long and end up with 500 emails that would just take forever to actually get through. So in which case I'll just delete everything except for the things that I sent to myself or like really interesting headlines. For things I need to read on paper, I'll create a pile, put them in my bag, and then just carry them around with me until I'm bored or have some free time, and then just read them all at once. That just saves a lot of time. For things I need to hold on to that are on paper, I have a reference pile. Tax letters, birthday cards, bank statements, they all go into one pile that I can riffle through if I need something until the pile gets high enough that I need to actually properly file everything. For that, I have a whole bunch of other folders, files and boxes that are completely unique to the kinds of things that I retain, so I won't describe them here, but I get around to doing that maybe every 6 months or so because it's pretty annoying and fiddly. But there's always just one pile that I need to file. For things I need to hold on to digitally, I have a bunch of folders for emails relating to specific projects, but I generally don't have too many because, I mean, if I'm really honest, I don't look at them. Saving stuff is very much for your own peace of mind rather than what you might actually need one day. So if I need to overview everything on one topic, like my degree or my agency, then I'll create a label for it, but generally speaking, I'll just hit archive on an email, and if I need it later, I'll find it using the search function. For reference stuff that I want to keep hold of, I file all online things in my Evernote using their browser clippers, and they've now got an email clipper as well for any of like the mailing list stuff that you might want to keep hold of or make searchable. I did try using Bookmarks and Pocket and the Read Later folder in my iPad, but I found that I never actually did read any of the stuff that I kept in there, and I think I've still got like 30 random news articles in my iPad somewhere, but I found I just didn't read them because I never actually looked at any of those folders. I ultimately found it a lot easier to just keep everything in my inbox, save the link, and then clip it to my Evernote if I thought that I might ever actually want to read it again, or show it to someone else, or reference it. Again, I only have about 6 or 8 tags, or different notebooks. Most of everything is just kept in the default notebook as a stream of consciousness that I can search or scroll back through, but I rarely do. Evernote is a very powerful tool that you can use for most note-keeping functions, and maybe if I'd started using it 10 years ago, I would use those functions, but actually I just use Notepad. Not Word. Word takes up far too much loading time when you try to open it if you just want to get down a note, and there's far too many distractions in the formatting options. All you really need is a blank box and a cursor to record stuff. And again, I'll never read most of those notes. It's mainly just for that one note that I'm going to need to get hold of at some point in the future. All of this is about keeping my mind clear and unafraid that the one thing that I don't save might be really important in the future. I have similar apps on my phone and my iPad for jotting down notes, ideas, dreams, drafts, etc. One way I do use Evernote though is to record things that I might like to do something with in the future, but I have no fixed time to do so. So for example, I really like reading listicles about life hacking tips on how to make my life more efficient, but I'm probably not going to go out of my house and immediately buy car wax to keep my oven top free from spills. So I'll put that in Evernote and file it under an ideas label so that if I ever feel like I'm a bit bored or I'm doing something and remember that I read about how I could do this better in that one article, I can look in there. Finally, for things I don't really know what to do with, I'll admit to committing the cardinal sin of just leaving them in my inboxes. The goal of all productivity life hackers is the so-called inbox zero, where you never have any emails in your inbox at all. And yeah, I really like that as an idea, but at the end of the day, you sometimes do just get stuff that you can't make a decision on right now. I've generally found that just leaving things in my inbox while I decide what to do with them eventually resolves itself in two ways. Either something will happen that means that that thing is suddenly useful, or enough time will pass that I accept that I'm just not going to do anything with that thing and just archive it. Some people were willing to accept that point much earlier, but I think that there could be an opportunity lost to do something useful, and so I'll hold on to it just in case. That's how I work. It's probably bad, whatever. You have to build the system around you and not try to make yourself conform to a system. That can result in things building up, so I'll really sit down with my inbox and question what I'm doing with the stuff at the very bottom of it about once a year. So, once I go through that process, I'm left with a task list of things that are executable, a calendar that is up to date with all the stuff I have going on or the things that I want to do, and all of the papers are filed in places that I can reach important stuff easily for future reference or batch read when I have time. I can then see what needs to be done by a certain time and what needs to be dealt with over time and act accordingly. When my task list is sufficiently crossed through or too long for the page, I'll turn it over and rewrite all of the tasks still on the list. I think that works out at every 3 weeks. The advantage of that system is that I can also see over time what I'm not doing, i.e. what I'm just constantly copying over, and eventually I might just decide that I don't really want to do that task and just drop it, or that actually I do want to do that task, it needs to get done and I need to try and get it done now. Accepting that maybe something isn't going to happen is a really important part of managing my time amid a constant torrent of ideas and things that I could do with my life. So, that's essentially how I stay on top of the flood of information that besieges me every day, and indeed most of us in our society. The way this system most benefits me is it keeps everything safe and ignorable if necessary. So, if I have a hard, or let's be honest, a lazy week, and I can do absolutely nothing to move forward in my goals, if there's a crisis, or if I spend a week on holiday, or I have to go do something for work, I will miss no important emails because they're buried under 100 mailing list messages. I will forget no tasks while I fight my various fires because they're all written down and waiting for me. If my room is a tip and I need to clean it in a hurry, I can just dump everything in my in tray and wait. And once I have a bit of rebean space, I can simply return to my previous state by emptying my various inboxes, putting things on the task list, and getting straight back on with it. Done. Sorted. So that's the task list. On stuff that's smaller and bigger in scale, I said at the beginning that I don't really have time to put together a daily task list. Sometimes, however, I will have a free day and want to plan to get some stuff done, or I'll have a load of things that I need to get done and it's difficult to prioritise and pick it all out from a much longer task list. In that case, I will create a daily task list, usually on a post-it note, and I'll add life admin things that I also need to do that day, like eat and shower, which are things that I wouldn't really put on the regular task list. They are tasks too, after all, and they're really great to cross out. I usually finish those days with everything crossed out, but where I don't, it's okay because it's still on the general task list, and the post-it note goes in the recycling because you only want a record of one task list. For projects, I keep two sticky notes on my desktop. Sticky notes is also the name of the software that I use for that. One of those notes is a list of my annual goals, which I sit down and think about what I want to accomplish that year, every September, which for me is the Jewish New Year. And the other sticky note is a list of ongoing projects that I want to get done over time that don't really have a specific end time. I find it really easy to forget amid the chaos that, oh yeah, I'm trying to write a novel, or I'm supposed to be building a website for that one guy, and so those sticky notes just serve as a visual reminder that I do have those things planned, and that if I haven't done anything on one of those projects for a while, what is it that I need to do next for it? I put that in the task list, and everything's just kept ticking along. This can be really useful to stay on track if you're easily sidetracked by other things, and you feel kind of lost about what it is that you're trying to do with your life. So that's how I try to organise my life. Everyone works differently and has to design their own way of staying on top of things. I imagine that some people don't read anywhere near as much stuff that I do and therefore have no need of the various ways that I manage all of the articles and news stories I get through. On the other hand, I imagine some people are horrified by my acceptance that I'll probably never read that one email again, and so there's no point carefully planning and policing my email folders. Maybe that's something you need to do. Everyone's different. But unless you lead a very, very simple life, you will need a way of organising things, and I hope that my overview of how I do it can give you some hints and tips for how to make your system more intuitive and effective. If you have any suggestions or comments, you're welcome to post them on the Autistic Empire's Facebook or Pinterest, or email us at team@audibleautism.com. Thanks very much for listening. Until next time.